Let's welcome in our first guest, Adam White from The Breakfast Club. Good morning to you, Whitey.
And good morning to you, Gareth.
I had a chat to you yesterday. I said, save your best stuff this morning for RSN Central.
I did.
Thank you. As we talk a little bit of cricket, first ODI on Friday, and Australia take on India, and then the Test series starts in the middle part of December. Cricket, we had a segment each and every week during the football season called the Footy Fill-Up with yourself and Mickey McGuan, and we tried to dissect each and every AFL game and work out how we can actually make some money watching one of our favourite sports. And I think our listeners, if they listen carefully and followed some of our plans and staking plans, then they probably would have had a successful punting AFL season. But cricket is your sport, Adam. This is your zone. So I expect you to do a little bit better with the cricket betting. Are you confident heading into the summer?
I'm confident with the Test series.
Yeah.
The one-day series, I think, is very open. And so when you look at it from a betting perspective at the moment, you're kind of getting India somewhere around 220, 225 for the first match on Friday night. So there'll be a similar price for the second game. Both matches played at the SCG. And then the third match is played at Manuka Oval. So they're the venues for the three matches. I think going into the one-day series, I'd like to focus more on the Test series, but in the one-day series, there is an element of unknown because of the preparation that India have had, you know, quarantining in the Middle East and then quarantining in Sydney. They are at least able to train, but they are essentially in quarantine. Up against Australia, who a lot of these players that will be playing, some have played in the IPL, some have been watching the IPL, and then others have been playing Sheffield Shield cricket. So I don't think that the Australians have had the ideal preparation. So I would side towards India as a good value proposition for these one-day matches.
Some of the Australian players won't come together, they'll come together for the first time in preparation for this series on Friday morning, the day of the game.
It's not ideal. And I think, look, nothing's ideal this year, obviously, from a preparation point of view in sport and largely racing as well. But I think with India that all of those players, we'll say all of those players, have had a role in the IPL. So they've had a lot of exposed white ball cricket over the last 2 or 3 months, albeit not together as an Indian national team. They've had a good volume of cricket put into them. As I said, it's not necessarily the case with the Australians. I still get the feeling that the Australians are fiddling a little bit with their team to work out what they want to do in this new World Cup cycle with their team. Whereas India always seem to be a little bit more settled in that they just play their best team all the time. So I think you might see some tinkering from Australia. And I just think India 225. If the games were played in Perth or in Adelaide, maybe you'd go a different way. But Sydney will suit India as well. So, yeah, I think they're valuing that 220 range.
Let us know this summer. But we'll probably just start with the one days. Who will be the star batsman and bowler for both countries? Who do you think will star in the early part of the international season here in this country? 0416 905 052. So when you analyse and you profile these players this time around, Whitey, how difficult has it been? Because you've got IPL form, and how much do you take that into consideration? And then you've got the domestic form where some of the Australian cricketers are coming from.
Yeah, as I said before, I think there is a big difference between white ball preparation and then you playing red ball cricket. That is a big difference. Now, players will often say that it is easier to adjust from red ball to white ball than from white ball to red ball. But I think in this situation, you know, the Shield matches finished about 2 weeks ago. They haven't really played much cricket in that time. I just don't think it's ideal from an Australian perspective. But there's not much between these two sides. Australia gets generally the home field advantage for obvious reasons, particularly against subcontinental teams. But that advantage from a conditions point of view is taken away somewhat because of the fact that it's at the SCG. India's always played well at the SCG. The conditions suit their spinners. The batsmen like the featherbed type conditions to bat on as well. I think 220, they're just a good price.
Now, who would be the best or the player from, we'll start off with Australia, that comes into this series with the best form? Say, for instance, Stephen Smith. Listening to him yesterday and reading what he's had to say in the media, he held a media conference there yesterday with Cricket Australia in his hotel room. saying that he's finally started and he never was able to do this in the IPL. He's found his range, his zone, his hands are working a lot better now, and he thinks that he's starting to hit some form.
Yeah.
Do you trust that, or do you go with a player like a David Warner that was probably our standout player? Would that be fair to say in the IPL?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Steve Smith didn't have a good IPL tournament. To me, David Warner holds the key from an Australian perspective in the short form game, but there is a bit of a question mark as to how he'll go against Bumrah as well. So with Bumrah, and that goes for the test series as well, that's going to be David Warner's big test. Now, 2 years ago when Bumrah came out and sort of announced himself as an international star, neither Steve Smith or David Warner were playing. So I think that's going to be the key for India, whether it be the one days, but particularly the test matches, is going to be, can Bumrah recapture that same sort of form he did a couple of years ago? There's a suggestion that he's just trained off a little bit in the last sort of period of time, so I'm going to be fascinated to see how he goes. And from an Australian perspective, it's that Warner versus Bumrah battle, but also, is David Warner getting a bit tired? He keeps talking about how he might become a part-time cricketer moving forward. He wants to spend more time at home with his family, which is all completely understandable. But if David Warner was to lose his edge, then he loses his competitive advantage. So that would be, I reckon, something that we'll need to watch very closely over the summer. And from a Steve Smith perspective, you know, I heard him talking about his hands and all this sort of thing. Will they bowl short to him? Now, I know those questions were asked of him yesterday, and he kind of said, well, bring it on. You know, if they can't get me out normal ways, or maybe they've got to go a different option. The reality is that he didn't play the short ball particularly well against New Zealand. And at times, they almost bored him out, because he goes, well, how am I going to score here? And he sort of invented ways to get out. If Warner is tired and Steve Smith is struggling with the short ball, that's the only way India can be competitive in this series, because in the test matches I'm talking about here, now Australia is around $1.55, $1.58. They're short, but I think they should be a lot shorter than what they are. I think they are absolute morals to win the test series. I can't see how India can compete without Kohli. So Kohli only played the one test match, the first one, then he'll go. You look at what else they've got. They're a talented team, but against a very settled Australian setup where there are pressure on for spots, so you're going to get the best out of them. They're going to have an edge about them. They're going to want to make up for what happened a couple of years ago, albeit with Warner and Smith not playing. I just think they're an absolute certainty to win that test series.
From an India perspective, what players do we need to watch out for? Obviously, Kohli's their star, and he plays the first test and then heads home for the birth of his first child.
Yeah.
But who do you think will be the superstar for India this time around in Australia?
Well, last time it was Pujara. So Pujara made 521 runs from four test matches, yep. And you might remember how well he did, particularly at the MCG. But with in Kohli's absence, Pujara has to be that player that stands up again for them. And again, he hasn't quite been the same player he was when he was in that rich vein of form 2 years ago. Outside of that, Rahane, I reckon, struggles too much against the short ball. So that worries me when it comes to him. I just feel that it puts a lot of pressure on those younger players that have got talent, but they haven't got exposed consistent form against high-quality opposition away from home. So for me, you know, Cummins, Stark, Hazelwood, if Pattinson gets a go, they are going to expose Indians' batsmen. And I think that's what's going to be the difference in the series. It's not going to be Nathan Lyon necessarily spinning them to victory, because India play Nathan Lyon pretty well. It's going to be Australia's pace attack when Kohli's not there, and if Pujara doesn't fire, I think that's where it'll leave India vulnerable.
Kohli is so important to India because he can make runs. We all know that. But the way that he sends out the positive messages, yeah, and how determined he is in the field and the competitor that he is drives India to be the best possible side, yeah, that they can be. So who replaces him?
Well, there's, yeah, so
as the leader,
Rahane's the vice captain. There is speculation that when Kohli was to go home, that maybe Rohit Sharma becomes the captain. Yep. Now, Sharma has he's very good tactically. He hasn't really ever nailed his spot at test level as that sort of number five or number six, a dominant one-day player. And I think we've got to remember that he's not playing the one-day games for, yep, India here, which is one of the reasons why you're getting 225. But he's coming off a hamstring injury. The feeling is that he will get to Australia in time to quarantine to be available for the first test, and maybe Ishant Sharma as well. But what I think is a really strong combination is that Kohli-Sastry combination. Sastry as coach and Kohli as captain, because they give them so much belief. Yep. You know, they fire them up. They've got a real competitive edge about them, and they all seem to feed off that intensity. I think with Kohli out of the frame, whether it's Rahane or Sharma captaining the team, that you're right, it's not just the runs. It's that intensity that goes away, and you need to be able to compete with Australia's intensity for 5 days to beat them.
So right now, do you find, is there any value for us punters leading into the ODI series, or do you think that we take the opportunity now to say back Stephen Smith before he hits form in the one days as our leading run scorer in Test cricket, or is it going to be a summer to remember for Patrick Cummins, or do you think Stark can destroy India this year, or is it Hazelwood?
I would be going as Pat Cummins would be the player that I would be looking for as the standout player from an Australian perspective. History says he'll play all four matches. It's quite a compressed schedule, so I reckon Stark won't play all. You know, they'll bring Pattinson in. Maybe Hazelwood won't play all. So I think you've got to look for someone that's going to play all matches. From a batting perspective, outside the obvious. And the obvious, I think you've got to put Labuschagne now into that obvious conversation because of what he's done over the last 18 months. If I'm looking for high bat, I'd prefer to be with Labuschagne than Smith and Warner for the reasons I mentioned before. And I wouldn't be surprised if Travis Head, I think Travis Head can have a really big summer as well. But again, he's batting five or six, so he's a bit outside that top four. But for me, it's, they would be the three I'd be looking at. I'm a bit concerned about Smith and the short ball. And as I said, I'm a bit concerned about Warner and that competitive edge that he may have lost. And just Bumrah around the wicket to him with a left-hander, that's a bit of a concern. But there's too much depth in Australian cricket compared to India without Kohli. I can't see how they can compete.
They've got a star-studded bowling lineup these days, especially if Bumrah plays. So yeah. Australia had struggled, but they didn't have Warner or Smith last Test series.
I kind of feel it's a bit overstated, their bowling. Bumrah is an absolute out-and-out star.
Yeah.
But Ravi Shastri was talking about this five-prong fast bowling attack. Now, Yadav is part of that. Well, we've seen him. Mohammad Shami's part of that. We've seen him. They're good bowlers, but they're not out-and-out superstars.
Australia's got the better lineup.
Of course they do. And then there's the youngsters that are coming through, or the inexperienced ones that are coming through that bowl fast. But again, on the MCG highway, the guile to be able to bowl in Adelaide under lights, up at the Gabba, are they going to bowl too short? Because that's what's happened previously when the inexperienced fast bowlers get to bowl at the Gabba. I think I think it's overstated. Bumrah's a standout. The rest of them are okay. Ishant Sharma, if he comes, we've seen Ishant Sharma come 50,000 times. We know what he does.
Yeah.
Australia's batting should be able to cope with that.
So Brisbane should suit us.
Again, India will bowl quite well at times. Let's have a look at Australia's bowling attack against that Indian batting attack without Kohli.
And we don't get beat at the Gabba.
No.
Our record's second to none.
And Adelaide under lights, I can't see how India's going to be able to cope with that. Now, a lot of that will go down to a toss and circumstances of when players are batting at night and all that sort of thing. But I think a clear advantage for Australia in Adelaide and Brisbane. Sydney's always a toss-up because of the conditions that I talked about earlier. And the MCG, it becomes a bit of a patience test, doesn't it?
It was a boring test match last time. It was at the MCG. Like, Kohli batted for 5 days,
but
basically.
They had a distinct plan in that match, was that they were not going to let Australia dictate with their plans.
Yep.
So outside off stump, which is what they like to do, India just didn't play. They just didn't play there.
I think they frustrated them. I think one of the biggest tests for cricket this series is that there'll be interest because it's India, but it's the wickets and what we can produce this time around. Brisbane's a beauty usually. It gives you a little bit if you're bowling, and if you can get in, you can make some runs. Sydney's okay. It can spin later on.
Yeah.
Then you've got Melbourne, which has been a disgrace, unfortunately, the last 4 or 5 years. It was better last year. That was probably a little bit harsh, but it's been a boring, flat test wicket. So hopefully, and there's been improvement, so hopefully that continues on. And the other test venue is Adelaide, which is exciting because it's under lights. And that pink ball, it can do a lot under lights, which I think is great for test cricket.
It's artificial, but it does move quickly, the game. The MCG, and look, it might come down to the MCG game as a deciding factor. I don't think it will. I think Australia will win Adelaide. I think Australia will win the Gabba. And I reckon if I had to hazard a guess as to what it'll be, I reckon it'll be either 2-1 or 3-1 yeah. Australia.
Has India got a spinner?
Well, they've got Ashwin and they've got Jadeja in their squad, but so they don't have that mystery spinner or the left-arm wrist spinner or anything like that. Again, we've seen what they've got in that department.
Nathan Lyon nearly spun us to victory a couple of times during that test series. We were brave with no Warner and Smith with that particular series here in Australia, and we probably lacked that little bit of self-belief when we had our chance.
Yep.
But Lyon bowled really well, especially in that second innings when they won, say, in Perth.
Yeah.
With a better lineup when you've got Stark and you've got Cummins and Hazelwood, do you think that he could be a chance to get you 3 or 4 and maybe climb the wicket ranks there at a price?
But he always does it. He always takes his 2s and 3s and then he'll have his occasional sort of 5 or 6. Again, I just go back to the fact, for me, it's Pat Cummins. You can sort of bank on him playing the 4 games. He'll bowl a lot of overs. He's got that ball speed that will worry India in Australian conditions. He's the one that I want to be on.
All right, then.
I'm not discounting Lyon, but you've asked me for a choice. I would go Cummins over.
How many spinners do we play at the SCG?
Oh, now that's an interesting one. I think they would be tempted to play 2 based on how well Mitchell Swepson has gone in the Sheffield Shield.
Need to play him.
I'd love him to play. The question is, how do you reshape a team to get him in?
Correct.
So what I mean by that is, for him to play, Cameron Green needs to play as a number 6 and 3rd pace option. Now, and that'll be dependent on his body, not his form.
And just with Will Pekoski in that debate, and I heard Justin Langer there speak yesterday as well, saying that, well, the beat-up's okay. That's what Test cricket's about. On the eve of a Test series, everybody, I think it's healthy for the game that people debate if Will is ready or not, or should he replace Joe Burns. But I think sometimes we forget, and I was probably to blame in the early part of this debate too, when Will was making runs there at Shield level. How much do you actually take into consideration that Joe Burns could make 15, 16, 20 at every dig, but if Warner is scoring 60, 70 and they are making more than 50 for their opening partnership, is that a success for Joe Burns? So when you because it's more a team, isn't it, the opening partnership?
You think, okay, let's get the drinks none down. If we're none down at drinks on the first day of the first test, you're none for 38, none for 46, the openers are doing their job well. I understand that. But I think you can look at it two ways. You can say, oh, well, Joe Burns played his role because they got a 50-run partnership and David Warner feels comfortable with him out there. I can guarantee that if Will Pekoski's making hundreds and David Warner's at the other end making 150s, he's going to feel comfortable as well. Mm. So I don't know what they're going to do, but to me, as soon as Justin Langer and David Warner spoke so highly of Joe Burns from inside the camp, that makes me think, well, if they're saying that inside the camp, it's hard for them not to pick Joe Burns. But they have got that Australia A game, which is between the just before the first test, and it might just become a situation of who scores the most gets in. I'm not sure. But my gut feeling is they'll go with Burns. But as Murphy said on the breakfast show this morning, the brave call would be to go with Pekoski. Yeah.
And pick him now then, or wait for the Australia A. If he makes a ton and you want to play, and then halfway through that clash, say, okay, we're going to go with Will. So you stop this speculation and we can move on and concentrate on that first
test.
Pekoski's
got to cope with that speculation and the talk, because that's where he's had a few false starts in the past. So that's just the nature with what goes with being an Australian Test cricketer.
I think he'll be okay now. Yeah, I back him in. I think it's exciting for Australian cricket. I remember if we look back to last Test series against India, we were trying to work out, we just need someone. We've got no depth. We couldn't find players. Who's going to stand up? And then this year's a lot different.
Much more settled.
We've got so many players knocking on that door of Justin Langer saying, pick me. Hey, Whitey, it's always a pleasure. So we're backing Australia in the Test series.
And India over the odds in the one days.
And we're keen on Pat Cummins leading wicket taker and Manus Labuschagne to dominate from number 3 once again.
Yep.
I like it. Good on you, mate. We'll catch up with you throughout the cricket season. I'm looking forward to it. There's so much to talk about, and we'll have a different opinion next week.
Okay, we'll try.